35, Genesis 35. Those of you looking ahead, I probably won't preach Genesis 36. I will highlight some thoughts. It's some genealogies with a focus on Esau, but we'll highlight a few things, and then I will begin what is some of the most favorite passages with one chapter in between. That's going to be a challenge, beginning at Genesis chapter 37. Last week, probably one of the top 10 chapters that are difficult to preach, Dinah and the mess that happened, and Simeon and Levi slaughters men, lost men, Shechem and his household and all the men of that city. We don't know how many that was. And so then God gives Jacob instruction. If I could have, just for sake of time, I would have continued. So let's begin at verse 30 of chapter 34, and then we're going to go right into chapter 35, and I think that'll help us just a little bit. So Genesis chapter 34, verse 30, this is after Simeon and Levi have slaughtered the house of Shechem and Hamor, and Jacob then responds. How tragic, how terrible. Verse 30 of chapter 34, and Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house." And they said, "Should he deal with our sister as with an harlot?" God then responds in verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, "Arise, go to Bethel," which is where I think Jacob should have been in the first place. God said unto Jacob, "Arise, go to Bethel," which means house of God, "and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, "Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went." I just pause there. Do you notice a difference in Jacob and his spirit here? I do. This is a change. You see, the title of the message is going to be Getting Your House in Order. Jacob was never going to be this gregarious leader. But I see a difference here. And I'm encouraged. He finally just kind of, and he begins to direct his family. Verse 4. They gave, they followed, they listened to Dad. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. They did not pursue after the sons of Jacob, which the Bible would infer they would have. This slaughter that these strangers brought upon Hamor and Shechem's house and the whole city wouldn't be outrageous for lost people to then say, "Vengeance is ours." They don't know the Lord. Verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, which is Bethel. Same, Luz and Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. And he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, which means the God of the house of God. Just emphasizes that, El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Elon Bakuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, "Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name." And he called his name Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land." And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, which means the son of my right hand. So he ends up being called Benjamin, but Rachel called him Benoni. She died birthing Benjamin. Verse 19, and Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. You've heard that, Bethlehem, Ephrath. And Jacob set up a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent before the tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin, and the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali, and the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So Isaac dies at the end of this chapter. He was 180 years old. So by the time the chapter ends, Jacob is 120 years old. Remember, Isaac got married at 40. 20 years, Rebekah was barren, and then she had the twins, Esau and Jacob, when Isaac was 60. So, you know, give or take, Jacob's about 120 years old as this chapter unfolds. Again, title of the message, Getting Your House in Order. And it's important. Jacob had blown it. What a terrible tragedy Genesis chapter 34 was. Jacob had to understand when Simeon and Levi, the Bible said, they used the deceit that they would have learned from their father and that would have flowed through their blood, right? The sins of the fathers pass from the second, the third, and the fourth generation. The weaknesses of your father you should be aware of because they are likely going to be yours. And praise the Lord, we know that. You do not have to be overcome by them. Understand that. But I think we should be alert to those. But then the tragedy that happens, not only was Dinah violated, but it was then this butchering that should never be of the people of God, right? It just should never be. So let's just, my knee, my good knee's bothering me now. Isn't that just tragic? First thing I want you to see, so when you think about this, getting your house in order, the first thing I want you to do is listen to God. Look at verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. First step is listen to God. Now, it's not just one person, but it's many. I want you to understand this. Jesus says this, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. So the word hear and the word listen can be the same. It's this. Hearing and listening, as the Bible speaks of it, right, would be that you hear and you take the information in and you respond appropriately to that information. That would be the same as listen. That's how I'm talking about it. But, you know, as I have conversations with people, they think hearing and listening means I heard the words that you spoke. That's not what I'm talking about here. That's not success to hear the words that are spoken. The question is, how do we respond? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who has ears to hear? Everybody, listen up. But you know this, you know sometimes we close our the ears of our heart, we close the ears of our minds, and we just don't want to listen because we are bent on doing whatever we want to do. The first step, you want to get your house in order, listen to the Lord. And I just want to make sure you understand what that is. Get in God's Word. Seek God's Word for counsel. Seek other people's counsel. Say, I'm struggling with this. How would you deal with this? How would you respond to this? Listen to the Lord, right? That's the first thing. Then turn from sin. I know, folks, this is just the simplicity of God's Word. Look at, if you will, to verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. So Jacob was aware that there were idols within the midst of his family and those that were traveling with him. But it looks like he had never addressed this before. And so it's no surprise that Simeon and Levi could just think, vengeance is mine. You know, because all these false gods weren't any guidance. False gods are not, but he says, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. It is, repentance is a change of mind, a change of direction. It is that, you know, I want to be different. You got to do different. And he even said, you know, dress differently. You know, you want to change, then just make a whole change. Maybe that would involve your clothes. I'm not saying you have to wear certain clothes to come to church, but if you want to change your attitude, if you want to turn from sin, there may be some things that you want to do physically that will help you feel like a different person too. And when people see you, they might see you as a different person too. And sometimes that could be some external behavior, something you want to change. I mean, look at this. They even remove their earrings. And so what do you say? There's a whole bunch of thoughts. Here's what I think. I think those earrings that they removed were somehow identified with pagan worship, with people that weren't God honors. You know, people ask me, you know, all the time, just different things. And I say, well, who are you identifying with? If you're identifying with the world, don't, right? And so listen to God, turn from sin. I mean, I know you hear this every week, right? And then obey and lead your family. You want to, it'd be good, wouldn't it? It'd be good if I had my notes out. But if you want to get your house in order, it's this. Listen to God, turn from your sin, and then obey and lead your family. It's that simple. Do what you know God wants you to do. And that's what Jacob did. Look what it says. He said, verse 3, let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will there make an altar unto God. Now, look at this. He begins to give God credit and praise the Lord in front of his family. And I'm telling you, you know this would be hard for him. You know why? What had he been all his life? A deceiver, a trickster, one that fools. They all know the history with Esau. They all know why he got the birthright. They all know why he got the blessing. And so who are you to tell us what to do? You know what? Here's what you do. You say, you know, I've blown it in the past, but I'm going to strive to do what's right. I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. It's a great way for you. You know, you have those people in your life that it's been years, and you're like, how do I re-engage them with the truth of the gospel, right? You're like, man, it's so awkward. How about this? Next time you see him, just go, I haven't been right with God. That'll get people's attention. They won't be defensive. They're going to actually want to try to encourage you. You can say, I have to apologize to you. I haven't been right with God. I have dishonored him, and I have been rebellious in my heart, and I've never, ever just loved you enough that I would just sit down with you and let's study the Bible together. Would you please forgive me? And you can say no, but I want to make things right with you, that I would love for you and I just to spend time in God's Word. I've been in rebellion, that I've just ignored it. I've not talked about it. And I ask you to forgive me. And I would ask you if you could give me that gift, that I could just sit down with you and we could study the Word of God together. You know, all they can do is say no. That's going to be a tough thing for them to say, but there's a million reasons why you can re-engage with people. Why don't we engage with people with the gospel? You know what I would call it? Sin. We ought to be a people that admit, I blew it. I'm not here to promote Steve. I'm not here to exalt Steve. Tuck your tail between your legs and say, man, please forgive me. I was wrong. Will you give me a second chance? I'm sorry ought to be so easy. Ought to be just dripping off the lips of Christians. We ought to be sincere. But then there's going to be those people that go, who are you to tell me what to do? Jacob had lived a long time. He's in the 120 range, however long chapter 35 takes. He's in that range. Most of his life, ungodly. Most of his life, poor Jacob. Most of his life, I mean, look at this. Look back at even chapter 34. I get it. I'm not even going to suggest this was sin when he tells Simeon and Levi that they have troubled him to make him to stink. And then he says the Canaanites and the Perizzites are going to destroy us. I mean, unless God intervenes, that would have been true. And so obey and lead your family. And I want you to see this. Look at verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Hopefully he didn't let his family know, so it would not be a source of temptation. Here's what I love. He didn't get on eBay and sell the earrings and the idols. You know, if there's things you need to get rid of, destroy it. Right? If it's ungodly music, if it's ungodly videos, if it's ungodly games, destroy them. I've known people, it's just funny, this is years ago, right? But they're like, yeah, I sold all my albums. I'm like, you sold them, okay. And I'm not going to beat them up. I didn't, but I was like, how about destroying them? He hid them. They followed him. Jacob stood up for what is right, and they gave unto him all the false gods. The Bible says all the false gods, all the strange gods they gave unto him. We anticipate rejection far too much. You lead, you just might be surprised who follows. You do what's right, you just might be surprised that God just might use you. Oh, of course, there's going to be those challenges, those difficulties. And we like to focus on the world will hate you because it hates me. But I will tell you what the joy of life is when we step out in faith to the Lord and we watch that He will use us. He will use every single person in this room, not because you're wonderful, but because He is. Not even because He's desperate. I'm not suggesting that at all. He delights in using us. Why does God use angels to fight the devil? Because it's a joy for the angels to be involved in the work of God. And so it ought to be a joy for us as well. Obey and lead your family. And then look at verse 5. Look for God's blessings. Expect God to bless. I use the word expect. I didn't put it in my slide, but not in a demanding way. Not in a way that you'll see on these YouTube clips, right? That you do this, God's going to do this. No. I expect God to bless. I expect God to bless every time we go out as a church into the streets. My night tonight looked like nothingville. Dud. Right? I'm not going to judge that, right? I'm just going to trust the Lord and leave it in His hands. And we ought to look for God's blessings. Look at verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Now, what's interesting, the Bible doesn't tell us whether God told Jacob that or not. But Jacob should have noticed, should have observed that, and should have understood that the Canaanites, remember this, when they sent the spies into the land, the Canaanites were studs. We're huge. We're warriors. Because it looks like the land of Canaan was kind of a microcosm of the philosophy of evolution. Survival of the fittest. Yeah, I went blank on that phrase. The survival of the fittest. So who's left in Canaan land? Fee, fi, fo, fum, right? It is the giants and all the big guys, right? And it's like, you survive, it's because I'll kill you, you know? Jacob should have noticed. God doesn't have to tell us, I did this for you. We should notice. Jacob should have expected this. And when he sees the people not messing with him, and then when God gives him his promise here in just a second, he should realize this. Look for God's blessings. I've just, even this week, I've been dealing with people that it's, and it challenges me, right? It just challenges me that it's like, I don't know them well enough to say, is there anything positive that happened today? And it's just like negative. And I believe that some of them were Christians. We can just get so negative about life that we see everything that's not going the way we want, and we whine. Look for God's blessings. He's been very good to us, has he not? The more you get involved in people's lives, that's one way you'll realize how good God's been to you. And love those people and help those people, because you ought to be pouring your heart out, pouring your life out of them and help them. But look for God's blessings. But I want to show this. This is the next one, that this is reality. When you determine that you're going to get your house in order, expect trouble to abound. Expect chaos. Expect problems. I don't know. I mean, I deal with so many people that their troubles are so much worse, I feel like I have no troubles. But let's look at the trouble that abounds just here. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. It begins here. Just a note, and I think this was God recognizing, we know nothing about Deborah. In this case, Deborah was a judge later in Israel, but this Deborah we know nothing about. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. I'm going to suggest that she was somebody that was God wanted to recognize, but she died and was buried under an oak, and God mentions her, but that's a blow. Here Jacob's doing what's right. His mom's nurse died. It appears that Rebekah would have already been dead as well, because she's not mentioned here. So again, it looks like Jacob never saw his mother again. When she said, just leave for a season, just leave for a short while, and then when Esau calms down, I'll bring you back. Looks like he never saw his mother again. But verse 8, light one, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, dies. Look, if you will, at verse 19. Jacob's favorite wife. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And here's Jacob trying to do what's right. And God commanded him back in verse 11 to be fruitful and multiply. Looks like he was. And so Rachel gets pregnant. Probably, no matter how old she was, younger, but probably on the upper edge of childbearing. She dies. You know, Jacob could do, trying to do what's right. My wife dies. It's not worth it. Just had somebody tell me that this past week. I'm trying to do what's right, and it was better when I was doing this, when I was doing this, when I was doing this, and I was doing this. I had far less problems. And I said, I would expect you to have far less problems if you're on the devil's team. Are you willing to endure it? And, I'm going to hang in there, but if you think when you determine to do what's right that everything is just going to go smooth sailing, you underestimate the enemy. I do want to remind you about this. Everything passes through the hand of God. I've had people, I think I've told you this before, you know, that no one's ever hit me. No one's ever hit me. But they've told me, they said, you know, I almost decked you the other night. And I said, no, I didn't know that. And and they're like, yeah. And then they say what I said, and I'll go, oh, that's not what I said. But they took it that way, right? And, it's just like, I just know this. You can't touch me unless God says you can touch me. whatever happens in my life, God isn't surprised. God absolutely loves me. I'm his child. I can trust him. And so I want to tell you, though, he does this. He allows the devil because it seems to be best for us. Remember, the church at Jerusalem was thriving. 3,000 men saved on the day of Pentecost. Doesn't mention the women and children. Just a little short while later, 4,000 more were saved. That church at Jerusalem was massive. Now, I would suggest they weren't obedient to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that told them to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, right? What did God bring in Acts chapter 8? Saul was bringing slaughter against that church at Jerusalem. But I love this. They fled, taking the word of God with them. God has used persecution through the centuries to be an igniter, to be a catalyst for great and mighty work. I really don't look forward to it if it happens in our lifetime. But if we can endure and keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, if persecution comes, God just may start a fire spiritually. Endure. Expect trouble. So we got Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died. We got Rachel that dies. Then look at verse 22. What in the world? You know, I mean, this would be something like, wow, Lord, could have left this out. Right? God didn't. You know why? He's telling you this. You try to do what's right? You know, I want you to understand this. Not one of us, don't you worry about how you look. You follow me? Your kids may blow it. You're going to quit because you're embarrassed? Don't. Reuben, I mean, look at verse 22. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah. Oh, that's awesome. Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, the first three of Leah, losers. I mean, they did things that were unspeakable, right? And I want you to understand this. It is what we are representing is Jesus Christ. I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to take responsibility for my failures with my kids and my family. I'm not here to promote and say, I did it all right. I didn't. God's been super merciful, super gracious, super kind. And I have no idea what my grandkids and my kids are going to do. Well, I have no idea what my wife's going to do. But I'm telling you this. I mean, I trust. Where's my wife? Is she in here? She's back there. I mean, I trust my wife. It would devastate me. She does something crazy. It would devastate me. But I can't. I'm not living for what you think about me. I'm living for Jesus Christ. And you know what? It just might be the best thing ever happened to us, that your family blows up. How are you going to handle it? You going to serve the Lord? Or are we representing Christianity that says, hey, I'm only in if it means my family is like looking good? We can't do that. Do we want our children to walk with Christ? We do. Third John, John said, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. But do you see the attack? Rebecca's nurse dies, Rachel dies, then Reuben just humiliates Jacob. And then, verse 29, Dad dies. It's sort of one of those things, right? If you've had your father pass away, and both Deb and I have, we've never talked this, so we probably should have talked this, but sort of like when my dad died, it's like, oh, wow, I'm the only boy. It was a little heavy that says, oh, wow, I'm kind of the man. It's always nice. I like not being the man. Isaac dies. And so, do you see? God allowed all this. Why are we serving the Lord? Is it so that things go better? Remember what I said. Just look at the previous thought that I said. Look for God's blessings. Expect God's blessings. But remember, we have a ferocious and a fierce enemy. God's fully in charge of him. That pipsqueak. Now, the devil's not a pipsqueak compared to me. But he's a pipsqueak compared to God. He can't do anything. And what it is, the pattern of God, if I can just use that word. He says, and there's something with the human psyche or something, that when things go well spiritually, we need a thorn in the flesh. That's not fun, is it? But I think we need to have our eyes wide open and realize this. God is not toying with me. He knows exactly what I need. And I would suggest that all of these circumstances were good for Jacob and would work out good for him. Doesn't mean he wouldn't cry, wouldn't be sorrowful, wouldn't just be crushed. Weird that I would say his favorite wife died, right? And but maybe Jacob wouldn't have had a steely determination to represent that name Israel. And he would have been tempted to go back to Jacob. I tell you this, not to be negative. You ought, this is not what I'm preaching, because I've had people, they say, well, I just know this, when anything goes well in my life, all I have to do is wait a few seconds because right around the corner is really something bad. Right? I mean, I've had people tell me that. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how to respond to that, right? Because, I mean, and then when they tell you this, like I've known a guy that had 43 surgeries by the time he was 35 years old. He said, when I got good news, I knew that wasn't going to last. And it's not my place at that point, right, to say, I wouldn't think like that. But boy, when it is, that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to go, hey, God's blessing. When's the rug going to be pulled out from under me? That's not. Here's what I want to tell you this. I think God's blessing our church. I am praying more fervently for unity. I am praying that God would have us to love one another greater than we ever have. Because if the devil's going to destroy our usefulness for the kingdom, our usefulness for Christ, it's going to start within, and we're going to start not loving each other. We're going to start not liking each other. We're going to start bickering, and the devil wins. I was just in John chapter 14 last night. 14? 15? 15. 15, duh. But it was after my favorite part of 15. That's why I didn't remember. And it was the bookends of Jesus when he's telling him he's going to the cross. Love one another even as I have loved you. And then he comes back and he says, love one another. Because when chaos happens, when trials come, husbands and wives fight. Kids fight. Go back to this and say, no matter what, I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my husband. No matter what, I'm going to love the people that God's put at Hope Baptist Church. It ought to be such that we treat it like this. You know how I speak about family? Don't you ever give up on family. There can be a place where maybe you can't go here or something like that. I don't know. But it's this. We ought to be so determined to get along. We ought to try 70 times 7. We just did that in our lifetime. I'm not asking us, nor is God wanting you to think this way. Boy, when things are going well spiritually, just be aware the devil just might have you on his radar, and he's going to ask God for permission to prove you. That's what he did with Job. Don't be discouraged. Just understand that. I want to show you in verses 9 through 15. This is kind of the heart of the message, and then I'll be done. That I think we ought to seek the presence of God. Remember this. This was getting your house in order. Let me just take it back. Getting your house in order. Listen to God. What that means is hear what he says and respond in the manner that he would want you to respond. Turn from our sin. Look, if we don't have regular repentance and we're holding on to sin, we cannot expect to have the usefulness that we would. Every single Christian in here, God's used you and you're a dirty dish. Yes. Yes. Shameful. Embarrassing. If you're a pastor, right, it's like, what do? Resign every other week? Or really, that's just to kind of fool you guys. Would it be resign every service? Right? I mean, I'm not standing up here going, I've been perfect since Sunday. It's intimidating. But we need to regularly confess our sins. Just beg God. Beg God to give us repentance. Obey. Just obey. Trust and obey. Lead our family. Look for God's blessings. Trouble may abound. Don't be surprised. And then seek the presence of the Lord. Seek the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 9. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And blessed him. I just tell you this, that when we seek the presence of the Lord, expect God to bless. Same thing I said, when we look for God's blessings, expect God to bless. Not in a demanding way, but I expect God to bless me and I need to look for God to bless me. I will tell you, if you go a week and you think God hasn't blessed you, you are delusional. Every lost person in this world is blessed of God every week. The fact that they're breathing, they can't do anything without Him. And so it's far bigger than just breathing. But seek the presence of God. Expect God will bless. Now look at verse 10. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. That was probably like a knife. Because previously, when he wrestled with the angel, most likely Jesus, pre-incarnate, he already had his name changed. And God said, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Here's just the, don't let your past define you. And you guys push back on me. I think this will be okay. I don't think he'd be upset. You know, I meet with Johnny. I love Johnny. I love Johnny. And so it may shock you. I'm kind of, you know, direct. And I was being direct with Johnny. And I don't think he'd mind me telling you this. He started crying. And tears affect me. Especially from a man. You know, Johnny's a pretty tough dude, right? He started crying right across the table from me. Almost uncontrollably. And I said, what, you know, I should have been nicer. Why are you crying? And he said this. He said, you're telling me I'll never amount to anything and that I can't succeed. And I said, I've never said that. But see, what he reminded me of, and this is so good, and I want you to hear me too. That's what he heard. When I said, dummy, okay, it's in the Psalm somewhere. I said, dummy, don't do that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Maybe more gentle. He heard me say, you will never amount to anything. You're just going to go back and be what you came from. I never said that. Man, that was good for my heart. We have had a great 2 weeks, and he now understands me, and probably not that much more gentle, but I make sure I tell him this. I believe in you because I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's bigger than you, and he's going to change you. I make sure he understands that. I'm not trying to play, you know, psychic games on him, but I want you to understand this. If I'm tough on you, I wouldn't be tough on you if I didn't believe in you. I don't waste my time with people that I don't think are going to listen or change. I love people, but you can help me. Give me feedback. I mean, you don't have to cry, but give me feedback and say, you hurt me. I never want to hurt anybody in this room. I hope you understand that. I want us to be soldiers and soldierettes for Jesus Christ. Don't let your past define you, and I'm never telling you that you'll never amount to anything for Christ. If you think you're hearing that from me, then either I'm totally wrong or you misunderstood me. But it may be because you've heard voices from the past. I love this when God said, your name's not Jacob, you're Israel. He was just reminding him, you've been saved And don't listen to the voices in your head that says you'll never change. If Jesus is real, he said he will complete the work that he started. Have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and cry out to him and say, Father, I am not seeing the change that I think the Bible talks about. It's not your fault. You know, I've begged God for this. Maybe I'm nuts. Maybe nobody's done this. I said, Lord, make me a robot. Anybody ever pray that? Okay, now I'm the only one. I said, I don't care. I don't care if I have no choice in anything. Just want to do what's right. And you know what God said? Well, that sounds really good, but that's not my plan. Why don't you just discipline your flesh? I've given you all you need to discipline your flesh. I go, I don't like that. It's too hard. He said, you'll do it if you love me. The issue is love. I love this when God comes up to Jacob, because Jacob hasn't lost his wife yet. Jacob's going to blame himself for this whole mess if he listens to the voices in his head. And there is accountability for it. Don't let your past define you. I like this, verse 11. You know I'm going to have a spiritual application. He says, be fruitful and multiply. God said unto him, I am God Almighty. First, what I love is, I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. Get your focus on God Almighty. God Almighty. God Almighty is the one that can do all things, nothing, no limits. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation, company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. He wants me to be fruitful and multiply until the day I go to my grave. He wants me to be fruitful and multiply with souls. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And I hope this. See, I sort of like this, but don't take it too far. I don't want you to be discouraged, but I would love some people to weep that say, you always talk about souls, and I've never known about any fruit. Now, I want to tell you, we reap where we sow not, that when we sow in seeds, I think we'll find out in heaven what God did mightily, because the gospel's that powerful. You plant the gospel, God's going to do great things. I'm not saying that every single person you share the gospel with is going to be saved, but you're going to be shocked the fruit that you have been involved with. But I will tell you this, be fruitful and multiply. God would love you to have some babies, spiritual babies. I'm not wanting your head to hang low and you just be like, I'm so depressed. You understand this. Most Baptists will leave this church because I pound on that so much. You understand that? They're not interested in that. They're interested in Club Baptist Church. They're interested in their buddies. I love the independence of churches. They're more interested in volleyball, basketball, who I go out to eat with, that Bob Evans, and the social part of churches. And I'm not against fellowship and the social part of churches, but that's not why we are primarily here. It's that we would exalt Christ, his gospel, and tell the world about Jesus. That's the simplicity of it all. And if we're not doing that, shut the doors. Just go assimilate into other Baptist churches. But I pray and trust that maybe, by God's grace, we can have a little bit different angle. And that's this teaching thing that I try to emphasize, because I think the scriptures emphasize it. But don't be discouraged. You follow me? Would you weep a little bit about it? My wife will probably tell me, okay, don't raise your hand if you don't want to. How many women in here had trouble with fertility, getting pregnant? How many women in here? Look at that. Did you weep over it? Did you weep over it? Weep over it. I wish we would weep over infertility with souls, right? I believe that's why God highlights it. I told you about this book I've still got on my books to read. I've read a little bit about it, but it's this book written by a woman of her pain of not having the ability to conceive. And I wanted to read it because I was like, man, I want to understand the deep emotions. And why don't I feel that way about souls? This is not that you hang your head down, But why can't we weep about it a little bit, right? You wept about it, right? Poured your heart out before God. Oh, that we would want souls like that. And you know what? God blessed. Didn't he? Isn't that good? Because you know what? He loves doing that. I think if we ask him to give us souls, people we can teach, and God does the saving. You know I believe that. But we get to do the planting, we get to do the watering, and God gives the increase, and I think he likes us to be farmers, and that's why he says, you know, go to the fields are wide in the harvest. I think the fields are as wide as they've ever been, in my lifetime at least. Let's carry on. Cherish the Lord's promises. Just look at verse 12. In the land, verse 12, which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it thee. I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. He reinforces that. Just cherish the Lord's promises. You got to know them. Cherish them. The Lord just wanted him to know this. I've already made this promise, but I just want to remind you. It's this. Set up ways to remember special moments with God. Look at verse 14. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. Find ways to mark when God's done great things for you. I've talked about it. I've got to just get the discipline. I do want to document all the glorious and wonderful things God's done in my life. I want to be able to tell my grandkids stories. I want to tell them, you know, just I want to tell them, oh, I want it all to be about God, his goodness. One day I might have enough guts to tell them my badness. Because, man, the light is a lot brighter against darkness, is it not? I'm not interested in my grandkids thinking, oh, what a great papa. I mean, probably am, but I am. But when it comes to spiritually, I don't care. I want them to think, oh, what a great Savior. You know, that's what I want them to remember Christ. I do want my grandkids to love me. And I have to fight that, you see, because we know that. But set up ways to remember special moments with God. It'd be so cool if our kids said, hey, what's that? What's that there for? Well, let me tell you. And then finally, commit to the Lord. Look at verse 14. There's this, the concept of the drink offering is there's a little bit of inference even when Paul said, I am ready to be offered. Ready to be offered in 2 Timothy, I think, 4:6, where he says, I'm ready to be offered. That's the concept of the drink offering, that we pour ourselves out, we empty ourselves, we completely surrender, we completely submit. There is some strong indication that's why God would have the drink offering that he talks about later in Exodus and Leviticus, that we pour ourselves out, that we sacrifice ourselves for him, commit to the Lord. Final two thoughts pretty quickly. Verse 16 through 20, just Rachel and Benjamin. Tragedy. Rachel calls him the son of my sorrow. Jacob calls him the son of my right hand. Loved him. Loved him, though Joseph was his favorite. And then we're now, just final, Isaac dies. Changing of the guard. Changing of the guard. Are you ready to take the banner? Stand up for Christ? Do what's right. Remember the title of the message? Getting your house in order. Jacob got his house in order, I'm going to tell you, just in time. You know why? Grandpa died. He was the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and now he's the God of Jacob, Israel. Is he your God? There needs to be this time that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's going to be a battle. One day at a time. Let's pray. Father, I pray that